This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Pastor Ward Draper is ministering to addicts in Abbotsford, British Columbia, in defiance of the municipality's ban on harm reduction activities. Pastor Draper is the founder and executive director of the 5 and 2 Ministries, the only Canadian church outside of Toronto that does needle exchange work. And it happens in a city that, according to the province newspaper, is the only community in the country that bans needle exchange work. Pastor Draper told the province that it took 3 years for him and his church to make the decision to ignore the bylaw and begin distributing needles. When we finally took that stand, we were sure it was right, he says. Ward says he serves those in need on the streets in British Columbia's Bible Belt, and that includes people living in addiction. We're joined on the phone by Pastor Ward Draper.
Welcome to People First Radio, Pastor Ward.
Good afternoon.
Why is your ministry called the 5 and 2?
It's a reference to the parable of the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. The idea is basically that no matter how seemingly small or insignificant the gift is, that if you give it to God, he'll work wonders with it.
How did you, Ward, personally become involved in Christian street ministry?
That was a God thing. Just felt led that way.
Do you have a personal experience of living on the street or being street involved in the past?
Yeah, I've got experience in that environment. I've spent time homeless. I've spent time in drug use and all that stuff. So very familiar with the community and that kind of lifestyle.
You said that it took some time before you and your congregation made a decision to include harm reduction in your ministry. What was it that caused you to take it up?
Well, it was just after careful review of, we had to look at the theological angles, we had to look at the implications of setting a precedent for the church, and then after all that was done and said and considered and talking to numerous leaders and persons in the church community and non-church community, we just felt that, simply put, what's the most loving thing we could do for our neighbors, or one of the more loving things we could do for our neighbors, not the only option, but a option. So we felt that this was a need that it would be best if we addressed it. I mean, we have 3 main reasons that we kind of went in that direction. You know, one, of course, is the Good Samaritan parable. We can't just simply walk by when someone's, killing themselves or dying. So we have to respond on a very basic level like that. The other reason is also to protect our larger community from the spread of these diseases. And another reason is just the financial aspect of it. I mean, it said the cost savings to our economic systems is, quite significant by handing out needles. And I guess the other one, one of the other reasons that we went into it, too, is that the church has to, or we feel the church has to get back into healthcare in a responsible, reasonable, level-headed way. And this is one way we could address within our own context.
How does your harm reduction work proceed? Is it from a fixed location, or does it happen on particular days or in particular places?
Yeah, it's all mobile, because we don't have a fixed location ourselves. We do everything on the streets and in several different communities. So we offer about 4 hours a day, 7 days a week in 3 different communities currently, 4 hours minimum per day. But then again, I mean, we're out all the time, and our team, like our team leaders, like Randy, who's in our outreach, and Jesse, who does our service coordination, and myself, we carry kits in our vehicles at all times. So if we're anywhere in town and someone says, you got anything on you, yes, we do. So we can respond whenever the need's there. We have our fixed schedule, but we also just also carry it with us as well. So, the random folks are like, hey, I need some new rigs. We got them.
How long has this been happening?
For us, for the needle exchange stuff, we've been doing it formally, I guess, only about 3 months, maybe a little bit longer. But we've been partnered with agencies and working towards getting a plan in place for the last several months, pretty much from the beginning of the year that we started looking into it. And we've formed a coalition in Abbotsford that's trying to come up with a strategy to both provide the service, and also finding a way to repeal the current bylaw that's in place.
This is People First Radio on CHOY, across the islands and streaming online at CHOY.ca.
The 5-2 Ministries in Abbotsford, British Columbia places a banner across the top of its website declaring MT 22:36-40. It refers to Matthew 22:36-40 in the New Testament. Jesus is asked, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replies, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Pastor Ward Draper ministers to street people who are living in addiction by providing clean needles and pipes in a harm reduction program. He and his congregation do this in defiance of Abbotsford's ban on needle exchange activities. According to news reports, Abbotsford is the only community in Canada that actually bans harm reduction. Abbotsford Mayor Bruce Banman told the Taii in June 2012, "You are, if you are a drug user, a criminal. You're not a helpless victim. You are, and choose to be, a criminal. It is an illegal activity that you are doing. If you are a pedophile, you are a criminal. And how we deal with criminals is we lock them up." We're speaking with Pastor Ward Draper of Abbotsford's 5-2 Ministries.
Pastor Ward, Mayor Bruce Banman doesn't mince his words in that quote from the Taii. Tell us about the notion that people addicted to drugs are criminals and that their activities can be morally compared with pedophilia. Where do those ideas originate?
I just think it's, you know, it's multi-level. I mean, it's probably just fear. It's ignorance. It's a misunderstanding. It's just so many different things. I don't think it's easy to nail down exactly one thing for that. I believe it's just, yeah, I mean, our society is just, we need a bad guy, right? And this is an easy bad guy. And it's just a matter of being patient and trying to, you know, bring education to everybody in our community and show them that we can actually address this in a healthy manner that's going to benefit everybody. And it's just being, you know, being patient and being reasonable and being willing to dialogue and not just being, you know, just going crazy and trying to just say things like that without really sitting down and thinking and listening. We just need more constructive dialogue, and they need to listen a little bit better. I mean, but Abbotsford always has a history of listening poorly, in our civic government. So we got to try to find a way to help them start hearing and seeing things a little more clearly and not so cut and dry and so cruelly, you know, like, it's unfortunate, but this city's, you know, history hasn't been that great on many social issues. And this is just another recent example that's made the papers.
The Taii also reports that Abbotsford has mobile detox services, but no inpatient site. The closest treatment center is the Creekside Withdrawal Management Center in Surrey. What are the specific challenges for people trying to move out of active addiction who live in Abbotsford?
Well, the issues are many. They're like every community. I mean, if you want to get clean, well, you want to get into treatment. If you want to get into treatment, well, here's 2 weeks. You got to try to keep phoning until you get in. Once you get in, can you make it through that 90 days? If you can't make that 90 days, you're back out and you start that over again. But then you get through that 90 days, that one time you do. Okay, so you finish that. What's your next step? Where are you going to live? Can we find affordable housing? Probably not. If you do, it might be questionable housing where you're being exploited or you're being introduced back into that community again that's in active addiction, or you just end up on the streets because you can't find a place. So then you're back on the streets and you start all over again. So, I mean, the issues are so... then that's just a simplified version, but the issues are so complicated. We need more medical treatment. We need more housing. We need more better support services. We need, you know, financial assistance from the governments, the government at every level. We need real investment in this because there's so many factors play into it, from mental health to housing, to welfare, to the justice system, to the community's response. It's so complex. It's almost at times overwhelming. That where do we start? And so, I mean, that's one of the reasons we got into with this stuff is where can we start? Well, this is one thing we could tangibly do that could be a part of that continuum, that structure that needs to be built. Because the deficiencies are just, they're off the charts. And, I mean, anybody who works in social service provision and is honest with themselves and their community will say that our system is very broken and is very deficient on every level. And we're hoping to find ways to keep rebuilding that. I mean, I wish there was a simple answer, but it is so complex because if you want to get clean, well, that's great, but where's the services to support you? Where's the community to support you? Even where's your friends and family to support you? So it's this huge, huge, huge thing. It's overwhelming.
Ward, we have just a moment left in our conversation today. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I don't know, really. I mean, with the needle exchange specifically, I mean, for us, you know, we didn't go in this with any malicious intent or anything like that. We entered into this because, like with every service we offer to our community that we work with, this is a byproduct of our relationships. This is something that they've asked us to provide for them. You know, like it's like our dinner nights, it's like our coffee nights, it's our men's groups, it's our church service. Everything that we're doing has been asked for by this community. And then we've sat down and we've looked at it, we've prayed about it, and then we've sought counsel and direction from other sources other than ourselves on how do we respond to these. And this is what one of our responses, this is a byproduct of our mission statement, which you guys quoted earlier, which is, you know, the greatest commandments, right? This is just a byproduct of that. For our community. This is what they've asked for, and we're going to bring this to them because everything we do is based on love and relationships. We don't have everything else is secondary to us. If we don't have a relationship with you, you know, we're failing. We have to do that first, and then we'll figure out what your needs are from there and how we can help. And that's where this needle exchange thing came from. You know, they asked us, can you do this for us? And then, okay, well, we'll get on that. And we did. So maybe not as fast as some people would like, but you know, it takes time because, like we were saying, like I said, is we're setting a precedent here for the church, right? This is not a normal area for operation.
Pastor Ward Draper, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Bye.
Pastor Ward Draper is the founder and executive director of the 5 and 2 Ministries in Abbotsford, British Columbia. You can find the ministry online at the5and2.ca, and that's the number 5 and the number 2.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.